Matthew 14. Book of Matthew chapter 14. We are certainly thankful to see each one here this morning. I tell you, good looking group. You know, look nice. I know, fresh off a wedding. And we're fresh off visiting a grandbaby for the first time. It's just been a good week. The Lord has blessed us. I know that's been noted throughout the morning, how God just blessed and He took care of things that we asked Him to take care of. And so let's be careful to thank God for all He's done and for all He is. He certainly makes being here a pleasure, and you as well. Matthew chapter 14, we're going to read these verses that I know you say, Brother Brad, we read those verses so often, but there's a thought that God put on my heart earlier this week, and it's been one that just is, I have to admit, it's a great burden of my heart. You know, we've talked so much about 2020 and 2021 and the changes that we're seeing in the world, and that shouldn't surprise us. God told us it would be that way, so it shouldn't surprise us. But I think we've kind of adopted a motto just to kind of keep our head above water, just try to get through, and let's hold on until we get out of the stormy water. And rather than look at it that way, I think we need to see that God wants us to be zealous people. He wants us to be full of zeal. And that is regardless of what the outside world looks like. That's why He gave us the church. That's why He made us part of His body, so that we don't have to just barely survive, but that we can thrive. If we're the body of Christ, and if God is for us, who can be against us? There really is no battle that we face that we have to worry about. So we can thrive even in a troubled time. Matthew 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitude away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the even was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water." And He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And I know for especially this morning message, I wish we'd just stop right there. Because that's really the thought in a nutshell, but we're going to continue reading because this is important too. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when he was come into the ship, the wind ceased. We'll cease reading here this morning. You know, there's a lot of things I want to point out, and I'm going to be careful not to branch out too far this morning, because this is just a beautiful example, I believe, of how we should walk in this life. But Jesus let His disciples get on that boat alone. He let that happen. In fact, He told them that it needed to be that way. "Get on the boat, I'll come to you later." So He could have done that different. He could have told them, just go sit on the boat and wait. Don't even leave the harbor. Just sit there and wait. And when I get through praying, I'm going to come get on the boat with you. But He didn't do that. He sent them out alone. He could have sent them, said, "Y'all just go out a little ways fishing and fish for a little while, a few hours, and come back and get me, and then we'll go across together." But He didn't do that. His will was to walk to them on the water. That's what He wanted to do. That was something that I want to show you, I want you to see me, your Lord, your Savior, I want you to see me walking on the water to you. So the wind is blowing. Just so how it seemed like every time they got on the ship, the wind's blowing. And we always get amazed that the Lord gets on the boat and the water just goes still. And yes, the Lord controlled that. But I tell you something else He controlled. He also controlled the wind that started the storm in the first place. So He allowed them to get on the boat. He ordered up a storm for them to go through. And then He come to their rescue. And the wind goes still. And the water goes still. So when the trial is over, that's what I want you to get. This is a trial that the Lord has ordered for His disciples. Yeah, he could have done a number of things. He could have went back into the same village that they had left, but instead we're going to the other side. And this is how He wanted to do it. So when the trial was over, there was no more use for the storm. So, you know, there's no use to the storm anymore. It just goes steep. It's over. The trial's over. I'm here. I'll take care of you. The storm is, there's no need for it. The entire scenario was ordered by the Lord. Now, when we look at the big picture, and that would be the big picture, that the Lord has this trial. The Lord has something for His men to go through. And whenever it's over, everything goes back to normal. It's just peace. But let us zoom in to a specific thought, keeping in mind the Lord is testing His disciples. Verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. That statement amazes me. He's on a boat and the Lord's coming to him. But he says, Lord, I want to come to you. I want to get out of this boat and I want to come to you. I want to be closer to you. Brother Freddie, you mentioned desire this morning. Several times, desire. I desire. And I think about Peter. Look at his desire and it's different than everybody else on the boat. Everybody else on the boat's just waiting. Everybody else on the boat's content just to be on the boat. But Peter's not content to be on the boat. He wants to get off of the boat. He wants to get closer to the Lord. And the Lord says, come. Come on. If you want to get off that boat, come on. I'm all for it. So again, part of a trial, part of a test that the Lord is putting His disciples through, and you have one man that steps up and says, I want to come to you on the water. I want to come to you. I'm not content just to stay on the boat. So Peter has this desire for more. And that's what I want to try to get across this morning. I want to be the one on the water with you. What do you think about your ball teams? Most everybody here, I know your ball teams, so we won't call out any names of teams. But let's just say that an underdog beats one that they shouldn't beat. And almost every time without fail, you see the fans of the team storm the field. And, I mean, they want a piece of the action. They're pulling up turf to take home with them because I want a piece of this moment. I want it in my hand. They pull the goalpost down and march it down through the streets of the city. I want to be involved in this moment. I want to have a piece of it. And whenever they speak, they say, we beat them. We beat them as if they were on the field as well. They want to be as close to the action as they can be. They want to be associated with this victory. They want a part of it, even if it's the dirt that the game was played on. They want to be part of it. You know, had a grandbaby this week, if you didn't know that. We had a grandbaby this week. And there's this new thing now when you get... Whenever the baby's born, they make everybody wait 2 hours while mom and daddy bonds. And whether you're for that or you're against it, I tell you, for a grandparent, it's a nightmare. Because something great has happened, and I can't be a part of it. I want to be closer. We'd catch yourself. Just walk down there and put your ear on the door. Just go listen. See what they're saying. See what's going on. And, you know, we want to be there. Now, you know, we didn't really have much part in the whole episode, but we want to be part of it. We want to be there and get pictures, and, you know, we want to hold him, and it's something great, and I want to be part of it. I know there's a wedding yesterday, and, you know, so many people, was it 230 people maybe showed up, and I see so many pictures, just everybody wants a picture with the bride, everybody wants a picture, you know, this big event, because this is a big happening. We want to be part of it. And here we are as God's people. And so often, you know, we look at this Christianity. And wait, yeah, I'm a Christian. But where's the zeal at? Lord, I want to get out of the boat. And I want to meet you on the water. Jesus said, come on then. That's what you need. You need to want to. And if you want to, I'm more than glad to stand right here and wait for you to come. Come on. Get down off that boat. Get on the water. Show them other disciples that by faith you can get closer to the Lord. Show them. The Bible says he got out, verse 29, come, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Nobody else could say that. Nobody else asked. Nobody else wanted to get off the boat. If they wanted to, they were not willing to ask. Just content just to ride this thing out. I believe Peter is looking to the Lord. I want as much as you'll let me have. I want to be part of this special moment. You're walking on water. I want to be part of it. I'm not satisfied with just being a spectator. Can I ask you this morning? Does your walk with the Lord look like this? I think often we take the doorkeeper verse and we've made that the bar. You know, let's be happy just being a doorkeeper. And so everybody's lining up to be a doorkeeper. And I don't want to misuse the verse as well. So if it's God's will for you to be a doorkeeper, by all means, keep the door with all your heart. And don't slack at it either. You be the best doorkeeper you can be. Put your heart into it. Do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men. A doorkeeper is a fine place to be if that is the will of God for you. Keep the door with all your heart. But if an opportunity comes along for you to get out of the boat, step out. When I stepped out on the water to answer the call to preach, I'll be honest with you, the surface scared me to death. It did. And I had to call out to the Lord. And he had to pull me up. There's nothing wrong with that. Oh my goodness, Peter had little faith. Well, how much did they have? If Peter just had a little faith, and he doubted a little bit, what about them other fellas? Bible says that we're to pray that Lord send more laborers onto the field. Whenever I stepped out onto the water, so to speak. Lord had to pull me up. To this day, I still have to keep my eyes on Him. If I don't, I will sink. Still to this day. That has not changed. Had a preacher get in the pulpit with me the other day, one of these younger ones, and he said, "Oh, Brad," he said, "I tell you what, I'm just absolutely terrified, scared to death." I said, "No, that don't change." He said, "You've been preaching a long time." I know I have. But it's still a great responsibility. And it's still stepping out on the water. And so there's a part of it that scares you to death, but you have to keep your eyes on the Lord. When Peter stepped out, he had to leave the security of the boat. See, people drown. You know, we're not talking about getting off of a boat, you know, jumping in, going to dive in and swim a little bit. We're talking about getting out of a ship onto boisterous waves. That's where you drown. So he had to leave the security of the boat. He had to leave the comfort of the boat. On the boat, it's dry. Somewhat. It's much drier compared to if you sink in the water. And I tell you something else. He had to leave the logic of the boat. Because it made sense to stay on the boat. That makes way more sense than stepping out onto the surface of the water, expecting to walk. We had to leave the logic of the boat. You know, it'd be, in his mind, he had to wrestle with, it'd be foolish for you to step out. You know you cannot walk on water. That's not scientific. You can't do that. But he gets to stand before the Lord in glory, knowing I stepped out. See, one day this is all going to add up. One day, what you think about me is not going to matter so much. And what I think about you is not going to matter quite as much. And what everybody else in the social world thinks about us, that's not going to matter. One day we're going to stand before the Lord to give an account. Don't you know it must be wonderful to think, whenever that time comes, I stepped out on the water. I did. And I'm not trying to preach, you know, let's try to get us some bragging points. I mean, he can give all honor and glory to the Lord. Without the Lord, he couldn't have ever stepped on the water and walked on it to start with, but the Lord allowed it, and he took the Lord up on the offer. I want you to understand this morning that you were not made to be average. You were created for greatness. When God looked at man, man was good. You were made for greatness, to thrive. But only through Christ. Don't take that to heart. Well, you know, I need to be more confident man. Have no confidence in the flesh. What Paul said, do not have confidence in the flesh, but have all confidence in the Lord. The example we have are examples, numerous examples we have in Scripture. You know, men were accused of turning the world upside down. That's not average. That's not what we, Brother James Bremer, said, the average run-of-the-mill Christian these days. That's not the average run-of-the-mill Christian. Not one is turning the world upside down. That's above average, wouldn't you say? Because you don't see a lot of Christians turning the world upside down anymore. But we were created to be able to. You are the Lord's hand, or you're the Lord's foot. You're the body of Christ. That means a lot. We are part of His body. When you think of what can Jesus do? You know, there's an old People used to wear bracelets. What would Jesus do? What did Jesus do? What can Jesus do? If I'm part of the body of Christ, that opens up a lot of the possibilities, don't it? A whole lot. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, the Lord tells him there, he said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Now a lot of people try to take that and make that a predestination verse, and we don't have any control over anything. All that tells us is this: God knew already what was going to become of a man. And that God has big plans and a purpose for men, and yet God still had to send Jeremiah some trials to get him to look to the Lord. He still had to grow. He still made mistakes. He still made choices. But the Lord knew. He said, you're going to be my prophet. That's pretty big plans. And God took him and made him an iron pillar. You'll be able to stand before kings. A lot of us with that, well, I could never do that. I couldn't stand before kings. I mean, if they called me up to the Capitol and I had to speak, I couldn't do that. Be surprised what you can do when God's in it. He'd do great things through you. Think about Esther. One more example, and I'll try to come to a close. Esther, put into the palace for such a time as this. Girl, God put you in that palace for this reason. To save His people alive. And if you don't do it, God can put somebody else in your place that will. Matter of fact, he's a little more blunt than that. He said, God can remove you and deliver His people some other manner. But He's given you an opportunity. I want you to know this morning, God gives you opportunity. And we need to have that zeal, the want to. I want to be closer to the Lord. I want to come to Him on the water. I want to be more than what I am right now. I think too often we just get content to go through the motions and, well, I go to church. Well, I try to do a few good deeds here and there. So basically you're saying, that's good enough. Is that good enough for you? And again, don't misunderstand me. It's good to go to church. We need to assemble together. That's a wonderful thing for us to come and assemble. We draw strength from that. Encouragement. We provoke one another. We hold each other accountable. That's a good thing. God gives the church for just such as that. I'll tell you what, little Esther, she stepped out on the water, didn't she? We're going to pray and we're going to fast. And at the end of all this, I'm going to go in. And if I perish, I perish. I believe that's the feeling we get when we step out on the water. If I perish, I perish. But if I do, I'm going to do it trusting the Lord. Do you have a desire to do more for the Lord? If you do, talk to Him about it. Peter did not, if you can say a lot of things about Peter. Oh my goodness, that man put his foot in his mouth. Sometimes he would say things that just, you shouldn't have said that. But he had a relationship where he didn't mind talking to the Lord. Lord, if that's you, I want to come to you. Let me come. Come on. You have a desire to be closer to the Lord? Talk to Him about it. Talk to Him about it. And then listen. Don't just be a talker. Listen to Him. How do we listen to Him? He gives us His word. That's for something.